Hot Pies on the Tram Car. Written by Sheila Newbery and read by Mary Woodvine. The first tram car of the day came to a grinding halt at Paradise Corner. The huddle of folk under the flaring street lamp parted ranks and climbed thankfully aboard. A young woman in a tightly belted Macintosh arrived at the last moment just as the bell clanged, shaking the raindrops from her umbrella, crying, "Wait for me!" The conductor clipped another tuppenny ticket. It would be dark again when she journeyed home after long hours treadling a sewing machine. It was March, but not yet spring in suburbia. A light was showing upstairs in number one Paradise Buildings, a solid, red-brick Victorian terrace of small businesses with accommodation above. The pie shop, at street level, still had the blinds down, and the grill was bolted across the adjacent basement entrance. Josephina gave a final rub at the condensation on the sash window, relishing the squeak her fingers made. She let the curtain fall back into place.
"Rosemary's gone,"
she reported to Florence, returning to her chair by the stove. "Got wet even in that brief dash across the pavement, I suppose," Florence observed, moving the big saucepan off the heat before adding flour to water bubbling with melted lard. She beat the mixture into a glossy ball, then scooped it out onto the floured preparation table. The kitchen was spotless. Florence, too, was well scrubbed, shrouded in a white apron, her brown hair strained back off her flushed face and concealed under a mob cap. Now she flattened nuggets of the pastry between her palms and pressed them round the bottle-shaped beechwood moulds. These would be filled with the chopped, cooked pork, then topped with circles of pastry, which she crimped with finger and thumb before the batches went in the oven. The mutton tartlets would be made next, to be baked in the shop oven as required and sold piping hot. Josephina wore a pinafore over her school clothes, despite the early hour. On her first morning at Florence's, 2 years ago, she'd ventured into the big kitchen full of cooking aromas, seen the pestle and mortar bowl where herbs grown in pots on the windowsill were ground, and the bowl of hard-boiled eggs, which later she'd learned to tap and peel, only to be dispatched back to her bedroom with the stern words, "No sitting around in your night attire, it's unhygienic." She'd wept then, because she'd been used to creeping into her mother's side of the bed in the mornings, snuggling up when Stella whispered, "Go back to sleep, darling. There's a good girl." Sometimes they'd stayed in a small hotel with sweet-smelling linen on the beds. More often, they put up in a backstreet boarding house with other theatricals, where there were grease-spotted tablecloths and chipped plates in the dining room and an overwhelming smell of boiled fish. But the old-style music halls were in decline since the advent of the cinema, and bookings scarce. Josephina's mother was partnered in her act by her husband, referred to grimly by Florence, her mother's stepsister, as that Dago. Jose's smouldering good looks, his expertise with the Spanish guitar, confirmed his ancestry, but he'd been born in the East End of London. Josephina's thick mop of straight black hair, those lustrous dark eyes couldn't be denied. Despite her reservations, Florence had insisted he marry Stella 6 years ago.